I hope you have been enjoying Mum's podcast. In this episode, my mum, Cynthia, talks about the days leading up to the surgery she will undergo to save her sight and the faith rising within her from all the prayers she received.
Hi, this is Cynthia. Thanks for listening in to episode 4 of my story. I think by now you may be wondering what happened next after I experienced the rapid deterioration of my eyesight and what my recovery path was like. Well, to counter the aggressive swelling of the eye muscles, which were pinching my optic nerves, I was given more steroids intravenously. This means going to the hospital once a day for a week to have the drugs pumped into my system. After a course of this, the tests showed that, unfortunately, my swelling eye muscles did not respond significantly to the drugs. I remember the specialist informing me that the next course of action was to undergo orbital decompression surgery, which I was hoping back in December 2018 I would not need. But when I could not see, I had no choice but to agree with the surgery to save my sight. So what is orbital decompression surgery? Basically, the surgeon would cut the corner of both my eyes where the smiley lines are and skillfully carve the eye sockets to make more room for the swelling. Yeah, sounds bad, right? There'll be lots of bruising internally and externally and would take some weeks to recover from the surgery. Undergoing a major surgery isn't something that we wanted to do without getting a second opinion. A friend recommended another specialist, and we prayed to the Lord that this specialist's opinion would determine what the next steps ought to be. He too confirmed that the surgery was my best option, so we took this as the green light to go ahead. I like to research, but with my eyesight being so bad, it was near impossible for me to search up some information about the surgery. Not that I would have appreciated detailed photos of the procedure, I probably would have freaked out. Fortunately, my husband was able to read out to me some of the important details and useful information about the recovery process. It is incredible, though, what medical science can achieve today. But yet, when it comes to autoimmune diseases like thyroid eye disease, our knowledge of science today can only alleviate the symptoms and not stop the cause effectively. The surgery will take approximately 3 hours plus. As with any surgeries, there are always risks, and in the case of orbital decompression surgery, there were risks of scarring, double vision, possible damage to the optic nerves, or even total loss of vision. Those were all in the cards. With urgency to save my sight, not doing anything was not an option. I just had to accept that the risks were there. I thank God, though, that He had orchestrated the surgery I would need. He truly is a master planner. Things could not have been planned as well as it was. Just over a week of returning from our overseas trip, I was already booked in for the sight-saving surgery. I was in the public hospital system, and in the public system, you cannot choose who your surgeon is going to be. I found out that my surgeon was going to be none other than the specialist who first saw me back in December. This was great news for me, because the specialist already knew my case and would be in the best position to help me. We asked if we could meet the surgeon before the operation, but we were told that that was quite impossible. Working in the public hospital is crazy, where the doctors and nurses see hundreds of patients each day. They did not know the current whereabouts of my surgeon on the days when he was not rostered. So my husband and I, we thanked the nurse and we went to a cafe for lunch. And just as we were waiting for our orders, my ears somehow recognized a familiar voice. And I asked my husband if that's our surgeon in the table next to us. My husband said, "Yeah, that's him." And we said a quick hello and told him that he will be cutting me up next week. He remembered me and my case. It's always comforting when they remember you. Our specialist even asked us how our trip went. That he could remember me was a feat. Please remember to thank your doctors, nurses, and all who help out in the public hospitals because they are doing a great service to help you and me. With God already doing His part, I decided that my part was to stay positive before the surgery. How did I do this? My honest answer is that I did all of the following. Deeply getting into the audio Bible, listening to Christian music, singing lots, and praying heaps. Was I scared? Absolutely. Did I have doubts? Plenty. But I know God is in control, and every day I had to let go of all my fears and doubts and let Him do His thing. I look back and saw how I cope better when I know I'm in His divine hands. My home church is City Life Church, Melbourne, Australia, which my husband and I have been attending and actively serving for nearly 2 decades. Before moving to Melbourne, my husband and I were attending and serving at our old church called Revival Centre Kuala Lumpur back in Malaysia. Our old church's senior pastor always welcomes us gladly, saying, "Once a revivalite, always a revivalite." It's wonderful to be plugged into a Christian community here and overseas. In my time of need, that's where I witnessed the body of Christ at work through the Holy Spirit moving in each of us. I not only had family praying for me, but many friends in the faith who were praying for me here and overseas. Upon our return from India, our friends at United Believers Church based in Delhi and their intercessory group were praying for me. I had a number of people who don't even know me and have been touched by my crisis somehow and felt the need to pray for me. For instance, my husband's auntie informed the Carmelite nuns in Malaysia and they too were praying for me. I would hear or read a word from God and receive confirmation of that word from others who were praying for me. I feel so privileged and blessed. I've been soaked with prayers and that I'm so thankful. A little fact about me. I love my sleep. My daughter made me a door handle when she was a little 5-year-old with the sign, "Mom's sleeping. Do not disturb the sleeping queen." It's still stuck on our bedroom door, but the week leading up to the surgery, I would wake up regularly at 3 a.m. and hear God speak to me. That's unusual for me. It reminds me of this verse in Psalm 34, verse 18. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." I can truly say that He wants to speak to us, especially when we are in despair and lost, because I've experienced this. He feels our pain. He suffers when we suffer. He weeps when we weep, and He's there to comfort and encourage us. He would not leave us crushed, but He will build us up. That's His promise. There was one morning I woke up with this photo in mind which I took in India. It's a photo of a field of mustard plants. Beautiful and bright yellow flowers fill the many fields we saw on our way to the villages. God reminded me that there are so many people involved and supporting me in my crisis. Each carry their faith, small as a mustard seed, but because of my crisis, everyone's faith like mustard seeds have come together, looking like the field of mustard plants in the photo I took. That's how mountains move. That's what pleases God. The Lord reminded me how my crisis has moved everyone. I woke up with such immense joy with that photo in mind and what God said to me. God is looking in each of us for faith only a size of a mustard seed, which is tiny. But it pleases him so much when he sees us all standing together with seed in hand and we represent a field of faith. That is why we must not walk alone. We need to plug ourselves in a Christian community. Make it a lifestyle. Pray for each other. Love and hug each other. Build each other up. Be Jesus to each other. Have meaningful relationships. Out of this love, we have an overflowing vat to reach out to a hurting world. How can we love if we don't feel loved ourselves? This is how our God becomes a no-limits God. He's not looking for one hero of faith. He's looking for a whole community of faith. That's you and me and everyone else who loves him. The crisis won't feel so big when people come together in faith to support you. What are you facing today? Does it feel impossible? Yes, it's impossible when it's just you and your own faith. But it is possible when you join others in faith. Oh, let us be like a whole field of mustard plants, growing harmoniously, shining brightly, and pleasing God. Don't walk alone. Get plugged in today.
I hope you've been inspired by episode 4 of Mum's Incredible Journey. Please subscribe and share this podcast to people you know who will be encouraged by her story.